everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you along with Tom Fairbanks. Tom, I think this rain that's been predicted is just not, if it's coming, it's not going to be maybe a drizzle or something. Is that kind of your feeling?
Yeah, the maps that they've been showing indicate that most of it's going to be north of us.
Yeah.
So we might catch a little of the, like you say, some of the dribble.
Yeah, a little bit. But the humidity level definitely was up this morning. Hello, everybody. It is Wednesday, mid-November, November the 15th, 2023. We're in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. We love Green Things. They have the naming rights to our studio. Our studio is on the campus of Bustos Media, where we have under roof here five radio stations. This one is 1030 KVOI, Tucson's trusted local voice for news and talk. We have our worldwide live listening and all of our podcasts at buckmastershow.com. For our telephone interviews, that is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. For his monthly visit with us, Pima County Supervisor Rex Scott with us, Democrat representing District Number 1, the Supervisorial District Number 1 on the five-member board. Supervisor Scott, how are you?
Doing great, Bill. It's always a pleasure to be here with you and Tom and your listeners.
Boy, we've got a lot to unpack today. Let's begin with Sharon Bronson, longtime Pima County Supervisor, first elected back in the late 1990s.
1996.
Yeah, 96, and a trailblazer in many regards with her views on environment. I think she was only the second woman to be on the board.
Third
woman.
But so, she was the first woman to ever chair the board.
There you go. I knew there was a first somewhere in there. So she will be leaving, resigning at the end of November. Unfortunately, one of her beloved cats got in the way and she fell and broke three ribs. And anybody who's broken a rib knows, even one rib, how painful that is. So she's stepping aside and she will not seek re-election, something I think she had thought she was going to do, but now she's decided not to. So what happens now, Supervisor Scott?
Well, the first thing I'd like to say is that I am so personally grateful to Supervisor Bronson, not just for her long record of service to the county, but for everything that she has done during our tenure since this board took office in 2021. She was our chair during the first 2 years of our tenure as a board. And normally a board chair only serves 1 year. But we asked Sharon if she would serve a second year because that second year began not only while we were still in the middle of the COVID pandemic, but it was just a few months after Mr. Huckleberry's accident and Ms. Lesher was still our interim county administrator. Supervisors Hines, Grijalva, and I are in our first terms. Supervisor Christie is in his second term. So having Sharon be willing to continue as the board chair for a second year just gave county government and the county as a whole a great deal of stability and security during a very fraught time. I also am extraordinarily grateful to her because one of the first conversations that we had when I was elected to the board was her encouraging me to become involved in the state's County Supervisors Association. Sharon has been the president of the state's County Supervisors Association, and she encouraged me shortly after I was elected to get involved in that organization. I've done so, and it has really helped me to not only get to know my own duties better, but it's helped me to learn the perspectives of my fellow supervisors all around the state.
Yeah, and Supervisor Bronson also filled a couple of very important roles on the board of Sun Corridor.
Correct.
Sun Corridor Inc. So that there'll be an opportunity there for one of you, for one of your colleagues to step into that. And then also she was associated with Visit Tucson.
She was.
Very important
definitely.
Boards. Yeah.
Definitely. And she also is our representative to the Border Counties Coalition, that is a coalition of Pima County, Santa Cruz, Cochise, and Yuma counties.
So you have this opening, longtime supervisor, and now we have this opening. this has opened and will open the floodgates of people running for that seat next year. So it puts the board in kind of a difficult position, because if you select someone who is already perhaps an announced candidate, it makes it look like the board is endorsing that particular candidate.
So we will, at our next meeting, which is on Tuesday, Bill, do two things. The first thing will be to formally vote to accept Supervisor Bronson's resignation. And then we will also talk about the process that we're going to follow to appoint her successor. And that process is going to involve people having to submit a letter of interest along with a resume, submit to a background check. And then we will have a forum that will be conducted by the League of Women Voters, and each of us may also ask to meet one-on-one with all the candidates. And you're right. One of the considerations that we have to have is, do you appoint somebody who says that their intent is to just fill out the remainder of Supervisor Bronson's term, or do you appoint somebody who not only will fill out the remainder of the term, but who is willing to run for a term in their own right? And those are factors that we have to consider, along with all the other factors that we have to consider. And Supervisor Bronson was really a model of constituent service. She represents the largest, most far-flung, and you could argue diverse district in the county in terms of not just its rural and suburban and urban character, but also the different demographic groups that are in the district. And it's impossible to say that you'll find anybody to fill her shoes, because she's such a unique individual in the history of our county. But our main consideration needs to be appointing the person who can best represent District 3.
And this process could go on almost to the end of the year. It won't be a very... Well, you need to vet the person, as you said. There need to be interviews. So it's going to be a little while, let's put it that way.
Supervisor Bronson's resignation, based on the letter that she submitted, is effective November 27.
Right.
We have two meetings in December, on December 5 and December 19. Mm-hmm. And one of the things we'll need to talk about next week is at which one of those meetings will we make that appointment.
Yeah,
and you're
you
right.
You kind of hate to move it toward into the new year.
I very much doubt that we will do that.
Yeah.
I'm almost certain that we will make the appointment at one of those two December meetings.
We talked a little bit. You mentioned Supervisor Bronson, very active in border matters.
Right.
And we had Supervisor Christie for his monthly visit last week. And he says, and he said it repeatedly on this program, stop, the Board of Supervisors, stop accepting federal money. What's the problem with that when it comes to asylum seekers, Rex Scott?
Well, the one thing that I think every member of the board would agree on is that this is a federal problem that impacts local governments. And that's because of the failure of Congress over decades to address the flaws that are inherent in our immigration system. The fact that we make use of federal funds that are given to border counties to deal with the influx of asylum seekers is not why asylum seekers are coming into Pima County. Because of the way federal law is currently written, and also because of the capacity of their facilities, once Customs and Border Patrol determines that somebody is a legal asylum seeker, they have to release them. They cannot keep them in custody past a certain amount of time. And when they release them, they just release them into the community. And what we have done with those federal funds is make sure that we are able to house and care for, and sometimes when necessary, provide medical treatment to these folks during the roughly 48 to 72 hours that they are in our community. If we did not do that, Bill, if we did not take those funds, if we did not have those facilities through our partners with Catholic Community Services and the other jurisdictions, then those folks would just be out on the street. It's not like the feds would say, oh, you're not taking the money, Pima County, I guess we'll have to keep them. They can't, and they won't.
Mm-hmm.
We would instead have street releases like you have seen in other border communities, mm-hmm. Both in Arizona and around the country.
And I don't think anyone wants that.
No, we don't. And so where every board member would be in agreement is that this is a federal problem that is having local ramifications because of the federal government's inability to fix flaws inherent in our immigration system. And that is a bipartisan failure. But our primary duty as a board is to protect public health and safety. And we are not only ensuring the health and safety of people who are in our community for, again, roughly 48 to 72 hours, we are ensuring the health and safety of our entire community. Because if these thousands of people were out on our streets, the impact on our community could be significant.
Because these people are tested for COVID and everything.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, other issues, health issues.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I think what I'd prevail upon the public to do is to tell House and Senate members to address this flawed system that they've neglected for decades and tell them that until they do, it's imperative that they keep those funds coming to border communities because we don't have any assurance yet that that funding is going to continue beyond the spring. And I will tell you this, one thing where there is unanimity on the Board of Supervisors is that we will not use local revenues to house and care for asylum seekers.
All right, Rex Scott, we're going to take a break right here. Supervisor Scott, Thanksgiving is a week from tomorrow. Mona's Danish Bakery is wondering about your pie selection. What's your favorite pie?
You know, I am proud that Mona's is in District 1.
Yes, of course.
And I am a big cherry or blueberry pie fan. Either one
wow.
Is going to
well,
be top on
my list.
Well, I
know they do a really
list.
Great cherry. I don't know about the blueberry, but I know for sure the cherry. Mona's Danish Bakery is taking your order right now, not only for what you'd like for dessert. I need to make that call today up to Steve and the team because I'm going to need some dinner rolls for the Buckmaster Bungalow Thanksgiving potluck. And so I'll be calling Steve and saying, I need some dinner rolls. And they do such a beautiful job with that. They're at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, monasdanishbakery.com. Open right now for lunch. We'll be back with Supervisor Rex Scott right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is working with the Citizens Advisory Committee to prepare and present a new draft plan to the RTA board by December. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates. Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Thinking about a river cruise? Let Bon Voyage Travel guide you to choose the perfect cruise to complement your vacation dreams. River cruising has become more popular than ever, and we know you have so many options to consider when selecting the destination, cruise line, and ship. At Bon Voyage Travel, we provide a comprehensive presentation on the top tips for river cruises and have a team of specialists to assist you. Visit bvtravel.com and view our River Cruise 101 presentation today.
Welcome back, Midweek Edition, mid-November already, and Thanksgiving is 1 week from tomorrow. And boy, if you're looking for something to really kind of holiday up the home, I've got a couple of poinsettias that I picked up on Sunday from Jan and Jack, the owners of Green Things. I took a little tour. 21,000 were grown over at Green Things. And Rex Scott, I think Green Things is in your district.
It is.
Yeah, Green Things at 3384 East River Road. They have done a beautiful job with that 13.5-acre site. And they keep expanding on the site, and it's really beautiful. Zocalo Village has these great tin Christmas trees that look real festive too. So they've got Green Things in Zocalo Village. The website's greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. Our telephone interviews presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. A lot to unpack today with our monthly visit with Pima County Supervisor Rex Scott, Democrat, representing my district, Supervisorial District Number 1, on the 5-member board. Also from our interview with Supervisor Christie last week, he was talking about the legal case that was brought by Pima County against the city of Tucson over what has been referred to as differential water rates. What can you tell us?
Well, first of all, I am very grateful that the Maricopa County judge who ruled in that case ruled in favor of the county. The city requested a change of venue back when the case started, and so the case was heard by a Maricopa County judge, and that judge ruled in favor of the county. And what's happening right now is that our lawyers and their lawyers are in discussions, and there are things that the board has been briefed on that I'm not able to talk about because they were discussed in executive session, as legal and personnel matters often are. But I can tell you, and I sent you prior to our interview a memorandum from the county administrator, Jan Lesher, that reflects the board's opinion. And our opinion is that our ratepayers need to be made whole.
Yeah, restitution.
Yes, reimbursement.
Mm-hmm. Reimbursement.
And the city stopped charging the higher water rates on our constituents on November 1st. But these folks have been paying these higher rates since late 2021. And they deserve to be made whole.
Yes.
They deserve to be reimbursed. Mm-hmm. And so that is a position of the board that was reflected in that public memorandum from Ms. Lesher. And that is something that we feel very strongly about. But what we also feel strongly about, Bill, is what we stated when back in 2021, when we passed the resolution prevailing upon the city to not put these rates in place. And that is that we need to have a discussion as the two governments in the area, one of which provides sewer services, the other one which provides water to most of the region. There are smaller water companies, but Tucson Water has a service area that goes from Corona de Tucson up to the village of Catalina.
By and large, the valley.
Exactly.
Tucson Valley.
And we need to have a discussion about the water service area policies that they have had in place since at least 2011, 2012, that often causes people who live in their service area to be denied service and then have to turn to groundwater. And I think we have an interest throughout this region in protecting our groundwater resources. And somebody who lives within the Tucson Water Service Area should not have to turn to groundwater because they're turned down for coverage by the Tucson Water.
All right. The other item I have, and it looks like I will be able to cover all of my four items, which I'm happy for, was the op-ed from your colleague on the board, Pima County Supervisor Dr. Matt Hines, who was talking about an initiative that was passed in Houston giving equal weighting to different entities. I know he was pointing to the Regional Transportation Board needing to have not equal representation, but weighted by population in influence.
So I also heard an interview that you had recently, Bill, with Mayor Murphy from Sahuarita.
Oh, yeah, that was Friday.
And Mayor Murphy pointed out that the decision for there to be one vote per jurisdiction on both the PAG Regional Council and the RTA board was made back in the late 1990s, and the prime advocates for that were former Tucson Mayor Walkup and former Pima County Supervisor Ramon Valadez. And that arrangement has worked very well in a region that it is so intertwined. You know, if you take a look at the RTA projects, the majority of them are within the city of Tucson. And I'm sure the majority of the projects on the RTA next plan will be within the city of Tucson. That makes sense. Tucson has well over 50% of our population. But if you look at the sales tax that every person in Pima County pays that supports the RTA, even if they pay that sales tax at a business within the boundaries of the city of Tucson, it's just as likely that they're going to be somebody who lives in one of the towns or lives in the unincorporated county. So this is a region where we depend upon each other. It's a region where it's important that there's an equal voice. And I think that arrangement has worked very well. I also think that because the RTA is a special taxing authority that was authorized by the Arizona legislature, if we start to...
you change the formula, it's got to go back to Phoenix.
It could, and I don't want the legislature having a role in our local decisions to the extent that they do in Maricopa County. I mean, look at what the Maricopa Association of Governments and their transportation authority has to go through just to get on the ballot. We don't have to deal with that nonsense here because of the way things are structured. I also would encourage your listeners to pay attention to what the RTA board has been doing. There's been a series of unanimous votes on not just the representation on our various committees, but also how to move forward to get an RTA next plan in front of the voters in May of 2025. All nine of us, and that includes Mayor Romero, all nine of us are committed to getting the current plan completed, the plan that was passed in 2006, and getting a new plan in front of the voters in May of 2025, because there isn't going to be any federal or state money that is coming into this region for anything other than maintenance. So if we want to look at not only roadway expansion and improvements, but transit, pedestrian, bicycling needs, we absolutely have to have an RTA next plan. And there has to be a belief on the part of every voter in Pima County, regardless of where they live, that there is a reason for them to vote for RTA next. So we have to be unified. We have to be thinking regionally and not parochially. And that's what I have seen all eight of my colleagues on the RTA board do. And that includes And that includes Mayor Romero. And I think we're going to continue to work to find common ground with each other. Obviously, we're going to look out for the people who we represent. But the one thing that I'm mindful of, Bill, is that all of my colleagues and everybody in Pima County are county residents. Mm-hmm. So it's incumbent on me as the county's representative to the RTA board to make sure that every jurisdiction feels that they've been heard and that every jurisdiction can go to their voters and say, pass this plan.
All right. We're coming up on Thanksgiving. Want to send you and your family our Thanksgiving wishes, Supervisor Rex Scott. Are you staying in town for the holiday?
We are, Bill. Our son lives in Oregon, and he's going to come down for the December holidays. So It'll just be my wife and our daughter. We're going to go for a hike in the morning, and then We're going to enjoy dinner together.
You've been doing quite a bit of hiking, haven't you?
I have. Yeah. I have.
Well, you're hooked up with Michael Guyman of the Chamber.
He is my hiking sensei.
Yeah, he's your hiking buddy.
You know, he knows every trail in this county. If you want a trail recommendation, call down to the Metro Chamber and talk to Michael Guyman, because he is a hiking aficionado without peer.
Well, it's good for you to get out and about in the fresh air. Thank you very much, Supervisor Scott.
Hey, thank you, Bill.
All right, we'll take a break right here. We're going to talk travel with Ryan Hansen. He has really been traveling. He was in Asia. He was back with the Wildcats for that big win at Duke. But Ryan now is next right after this.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rialto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, mid-November edition, midweek edition, right here. Time for our insider travel talk on the Buckmaster Show with our travel contributor, Ryan Hansen, President and Chief Operating Officer of Bon Voyage Travel, Arizona's premier travel agency since 1976. The Bon Voyage Travel experts standing by now to create your trip of a lifetime. There are three Southern Arizona Bon Voyage offices, River and Campbell, there's a Green Valley office, and Oro Valley. Their website looking real good these days, bvtravel.com, the first stop in making your travel dreams come true. And here he is, without further ado, Mr. Traveling Man. My goodness, this guy, since we last spoke, and he's been all over Asia, back in North Carolina for the Wildcats, that big upset Duke. I think you were in Las Vegas for the signature travel event. Is that true, Rhino?
Yeah, it was pin the tail on the time zone, Bill. I did not know where I was at some moments, but that's the beauty and some of the challenges of being in the travel industry.
Oh my goodness. Let's start with Asia. How did that trip go?
Fantastic. I'd never been on to that part of the world. So I was traveling with a global advisory board for a major cruise line. You and I have talked a number of times about Silver Sea, one of the 6-star luxury cruise lines that is out there. They have a 20-person agency owners all over the world represented on the board, and they flew us to Hong Kong. And then boarded one of their beautiful ships, the Silver Muse, and set sail for a week-long trip, really hitting Vietnam was the first portion of the itinerary. The itinerary was extended another week that I could not sail on, and that went into Thailand and Singapore. And oh, do I wish I could have carved out enough time to have seen Bangkok and Singapore. But Bill, I don't know if you have been one of the most unique places in the world, Hong Kong. What an incredible destination. Again, where a city that I love. And why do I love this city? It's much like Rome and some of the other cities of the world, where the history, culture, and cuisine are so deep and far-reaching. But then the cross-section of brand new buildings and wonderful use of technology all in the same city. You look at one side of your view and you've got old Hong Kong, and then brand new buildings jutting up along the skyline right there in Victoria Harbor, which is quite possibly one of the most beautiful harbors in all of the world.
Yeah, Victoria Harbor usually makes the top 5 list with Cape Town, Vancouver, Rio, and I forgot another one. But Hong Kong, definitely Victoria Harbor. And the icing on the cake, boy, this is a place I would really like to stay at. The original Mandarin, the Oriental Hotel in Hong Kong. Wow.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, because that's exactly what it was, celebrating 60 years of being in business. This was the flagship Mandarin, the very original hotel in this chain. And at the time it was built, back in 1963, Bill, it was the tallest building in all of Hong Kong. And now you can barely pick it out from across Victoria Harbor on the other side of where is the Mandarin Oriental now, because of the number of buildings and skyscrapers that have gone up since then. But what they have done is they've kept the charm of Hong Kong of old. They've integrated all the new technology and service standards. This truly was a luxurious experience. We landed at the airport in Hong Kong at 6:45 in the morning, and they have told me that they guarantee early arrival. So when we were whisked out of baggage claim and after we'd gone through customs right to the hotel, we bypassed the front desk. They took us right to our room. It was ready upon arrival, checked us in our room, right? So you think about the length of that trip. I flew from Tucson to Los Angeles, Los Angeles, Hong Kong on Cathay Pacific, a 15.5-hour flight from LA to Hong Kong. So I'm a little upside down, right, after a flight of that length, to have the hotel ready to greet you and welcome you into your suite upon arrival was like nothing I had experienced before on an international trip. But the beauty of this hotel, right, not just the history of the hotel with the Mandarin, they joined forces with the Oriental that was originally built in Bangkok. And in 1974, these two iconic brands of the Pan-Asian demographic and destination area joined forces to then build hotels all over the world, now known as the Mandarin Oriental Hotel Group. And so just service at the top level, we got to meet the general manager. They were celebrating, again, their 60th year of being in business the week after we left. So they were preparing for that, and it was absolutely a fabulous stay.
How is that sector doing, what you refer to as the six-star luxury cruise line? How are they doing, that sector?
You know, it's interesting. As you look at potential recession and you're looking at inflation and things like that, the six-star, the luxury traveler, I wouldn't say is immune to any of that by any stretch of the imagination. But what we're seeing across the travel sector, especially in the luxury segment, is the luxury traveler that had trips stolen from them from the pandemic. They're recognizing that their travel life is a finite number of opportunities and finite number of years as it goes by. And having those couple of years taken away, some of these typical economic factors that would slow down the travel industry is not necessarily slowing down the luxury traveler who is looking at their stock portfolio, which is actually probably in decent shape right now. The stock market's responding pretty well to all of these, you know, raise of interest rates, inflationary market. And so the luxury traveler is still getting out there and traveling.
And the ship itself, everything you could imagine, I guess.
It's an all-inclusive experience, right? So Silver Sea combines all the all-inclusive nature where you're not being nickel and dimed for your beverages on board, for your specialty dining, for your excursions, which, as you can imagine, mm-hmm. on an itinerary of this kind would rack up because of the expense that you'd have to go to do an excursion that we did, which was a four-hour cruise in Ha Long Bay, which is another UNESCO World Heritage Sites where there's over 2,500 limestone, and I call them islands, but 90% of them are uninhabitable, but they're limestone rock formations that jut up out of the ocean. You've probably seen pictures of Ha Long Bay.
Yeah.
Very picturesque destination. That excursion is included with your cruise fare on Silver Sea, so that's how they love to just treat you. Once you pay to get on, you don't have to get nickel and dime to have a wonderful experience. But the Ha Long Bay cruise day that we had was absolutely one of my favorite excursions I've ever been on, because we got off of the little cruise ship that we were on and boarded a canoe and went through a grotto into a protected island area that was, we even saw monkeys up on the limestone rock formations. It was just serene and picturesque. It was really a true experience, unlike you're going to get at in a major city. It was really off the beaten path, and I love those types of excursions.
Well, the people at Bon Voyage can hook you up with Silver Sea, and really, that's part of your specialty, really, some of the luxury lines, right, Ryan Hansen?
No. For sure. Our advisors, not only have they sent many, many travelers on cruises of the luxury kind all over the world, they have themselves been on these ships, and so have I. And that's where I think sometimes people don't realize Bon Voyage has a pretty far reach globally. And when I have the cell phone number of the president of Silver Sea in my contact, and I'm not dropping names here, but let's just call it what it is.
Yeah.
You know, you have the ability to connect with executives at these cruise lines and make things happen when it doesn't necessarily go the way of a customer. And when you book it yourself, you're a traveling party of one or two. When you work with us, we obviously have that buying power and those relationships that just make all the difference in the world.
Okay, Rhino, before we take the break, it is Thanksgiving week, one of the biggest travel holidays for sure. It's going to be a busy one, isn't it?
Always is, Bill, but it's going to be the biggest it's been since 2005.
Whoa.
Air travel is going to be around 4.7 million passengers. So dating back to 2005, that's the highest number of travelers that will go through and transit a domestic airport this coming week. So beware, pack your flexibility, be cognizant of all of the security lines, and give yourself plenty of time at the airports. Check your layover times. Make sure you have enough time there to reach your second flight if you do have a layover. And if you can avoid it, I might avoid the airports this coming week with that many travelers that are out there. But if you've got something already on the books, pack that flexibility.
All right, more travel talk with Ryan Hansen as we continue on the Buckmaster Show Midweek Edition. Be right back.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We are also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority Plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA is collected throughout Pima County and averages more than $100 million in revenue each month. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation improvements in the region. The RTA is preparing a new 20-year plan for public review. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in Southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in Southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com. Welcome back. The Buckmaster Show, midweek edition. Nice day over in Silver City. Midday temperature 65. Man, I'll take that when you go out hiking. Yeah, maybe with a little vest, down vest, or a sweatshirt, and get out and hike the Gila National Wilderness. Only about a three-hour drive to a really enchanting place, in fact, in the land of enchantment. SouthwestNewMexico.org for more information about a great time over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. We're talking about some great times that the people at Bon Voyage Travel want to make happen for you. BVTravel.com. It is our monthly travel talk segment with our travel contributor, Ryan Hansen, who's been a very busy guy doing a lot of traveling Asia, over the East Coast, up to Las Vegas. And, you know, Ryan, as you know, I have a top 25 destination, the Buckmaster top 25 list of countries. Iceland, we had a great trip. Ann and I were there in 1997 for our 25th wedding anniversary. I'm thinking about going back maybe in 2024, and there are some kind of disturbing things happening in the land of fire and ice, but that's why you want a travel advisor like the people at Bon Voyage when unexpected things happen, and they do and will happen on if you travel enough.
It is, and you're right. Global events of all types, right? You're talking about the environmental concern of a potential volcano eruption in Iceland. The last significant volcano eruption happened in 2010, and there was obviously significant fallout, impacted and disrupted air travel really for weeks in the area. So I would, at least on a word of a cautionary tale for those that might have travel plans to Europe over the next couple of weeks, for sure through the end of the month, I would just keep an eye on what's going on in Iceland. You could say, well, Iceland, why would that bother me? Well, clearly the airspace as you head to Europe would be impacted. And right now, not a huge significant travel time to Europe unless you're going on a Christmas market, river cruise, or something of that kind. So it probably won't be as negatively impactful as normal. But boy, these types of things, like you said, Bill, it's not just volcanoes, it's geopolitical uprisings and other situations like we've seen with what's happened in Israel. We talked last month about how our agency was able to be a part of those types of changes and transitions of plans when things globally come up. And we are here for you on those things. That's where, again, we jokingly said in the previous segment, you're a party of two when you're booking it on your own. But when you book with Bon Voyage, not only do you have insight and expertise in planning, you have insight, expertise, relationships, and resources if and when things don't go as planned. And sometimes it's in your control, sometimes it's out of your control. So thank you for that shameless plug for Bon Voyage. But I'd like to throw it back to you. Hey, Bill, how about that? You are on the front end of the curve of Iceland being a top destination.
Oh, yeah.
If you went in the 90s, you were clairvoyant in knowing of what Iceland offers, because even back then, people didn't view Iceland as a destination of choice. But it is such an incredible destination, from waterfalls to black sand beaches. Like you said, the Blue Lagoon is an incredible place, which, by the way, is currently closed right now because of this impending volcanic eruption that they're looking at from a weather standpoint. So, boy, Bill, you were on the front end of it. I love knowing that, and why am I not surprised?
Well, I like Iceland. From the one time I was there, we didn't really have a long enough time there. So if I do go back, and I am going to go back, don't know exactly when, I do want to see the Gullfjord Waterfall, which I think is one of the highest in Europe. But for sure, that's on my list. And I also would like to go back to Ireland, and Iceland is only a two-hour flight over to Dublin from Reykjavik. So,
right.
And Iceland Air has some very attractive deals going, so people might want to check that out. And they do have a very reasonable business class. They don't have the flatbed seats, but the price point is pretty good. Iceland Air, an airline that's pretty darn good. You know, when people are talking about maybe they want to stay closer to home, one of the fastest growing segments of the travel market, sure, we've talked a lot, Ryan Hansen, about European river cruising, but we're doing some pretty good river cruising right here in the USA.
Great options that are now being built out. And it's not just the Mississippi River. It's a lot of the different waterways in the Northwest or in the mid to the south part of the country, when you're talking the Columbia and the Snake River up in the Northwest. But the Mississippi is a tremendous, historically significant part of the United States. As you know, the riverways of Europe were the highways at one time, and no different here in the United States. So you're talking great culture, great history, wonderful food options, and you mitigate that long flight over the water. So if that's something that you're at a time of life that you don't want to fly across the pond, or this just sounds much more safe to you or secure to be close to home, think of us to talk to us about your different options, because along the Mississippi, you could sail very historically accurate by sailing on a paddle boat cruise along the Mississippi. Have all the amenities and technology of 2023 in your stateroom, but you get to enjoy it as you would have back in the 1800s. Or you can travel on Viking and be on a river ship very much like you would in the on the Rhine or the Danube in Europe, sailing on the Mississippi, where you are not compromising any of those amenities and service standards. But it's close to home, and you can experience it in and around. And again, it's not just the Mississippi, but that could be a great option for someone not wanting to necessarily take a long flight at this current juncture.
I didn't know Viking then is now in the U.S. river market. That's
it sure is.
Wow.
Yeah, so we've got Viking River Cruises. We have American Cruise Line. American Queen is probably your best option for that paddle boat experience. So lots of different options with different pluses and minuses that we would love to talk with you about if you're interested.
How was the Alaska cruise season? Big rebound, Ryan Hansen?
Huge rebound, right? You look back at what happened during COVID and the slow reopening of 21 and even into 2022, cruise lines put a lot of hardware. And what was special about this summer, Bill, is they didn't just put the average ships. A lot of times in Alaska, it's about the destination, not about the ship. So many cruise lines won't put their best ships or their most new hardware into the Alaska market because the destination sells itself. You're quite a bit off ship at excursions. You're looking at wildlife and things passing by. So the ship itself isn't as critical to your vacation experience. But cruise lines are recognizing people don't want to compromise on ship with amenities and technology and new hardware. So they put new ships into Alaska and they're keeping them there for the 2024 season. So now would be a great time to look at an Alaska cruise if you want a great new build of a ship. Silver Sea has a new ship that's built that's there. Regent Seven Seas has a new ship. Norwegian Cruise Line has a new ship that's there. So that is another attractive destination for more than just what you typically would get in Alaska.
And the expedition-style travel, we're talking about Iceland. The hot destination is Greenland right now, and a lot of people want to do an expedition cruise around Greenland.
Yeah, let's not shy away from a difficult conversation, Bill. The Israeli conflict has got people concerned about an Eastern Mediterranean cruise travel to that part of the world. And we understand that. So if you still want to travel and feel more safe and secure to be somewhere a little further away from the epicenter of what's going on, and I would recommend being, you know, off the beaten path on an expedition cruise. And I'm thankful that you brought it up because a lot of people think expedition cruise must mean only Antarctica, which, by the way, amazing. Like mm-hmm. that needs to be on your bucket list. But the Arctic Circle is another up and coming area. And a bunch of cruise lines are reaching brand new ports of call that have never been called upon in Greenland in the past. And so if you're a passport collector, you're a port collector of cruise destinations, Greenland could be an incredible destination for you. But also, how about the Kimberleys? The Kimberleys down in Australia, New Zealand is another new cruise destination. So if we have a lot of cruise avid cruisers that are listeners that are looking for the next destination to stamp in their book, the Arctic Circle in Greenland or the Kimberleys would be a great option for you.
Yeah, I know. I've heard that Tasmania, Hobart is the town, the main town there on the island of Tasmania, there south of Australia, is really an amazing place.
Yeah, Australia being closed for so many months mm-hmm. during COVID, opened back up now fully. They're doing a great job from an environmental standpoint of requiring cruise lines to raise their game as far as it relates to the negative impact on some of these off-the-beaten-path destinations and make sure that the cruise lines are not bringing down that destination but preserving it for generations to come. And Tasmania, New Zealand, Australia, the Kimberleys, those are new and emerging, and I would anticipate probably some of the hot destinations for 2024.
All right, bvtravel.com, first stop in making your travel dreams come true. Ryan, thank you very much. I hope you and yours have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Thanks, Rhino.
We are thankful for you here in Tucson, Bill. So happy Thanksgiving. Glad you're still on the airways, buddy.
Thank you very much. All right. We'll take the break. Be back in about 23 hours. Thanks to Ryan Hansen at Bon Voyage Travel. And we wish everyone well. Take care, everybody.